hundreds of thousands of foreclosures means there are lots of vacant properties. In some places, empty homes are a magnet for thieves and criminals. But in some other places, an empty house is an opportunity to party.
New tonight, hundreds of people, booze, and a vacant house. That's all that was needed for a huge illegal party in Sandy Springs.
Thousands of Americans are still losing their homes every month, and until the housing market bounces back, many of those houses will be vacant until they're sold. It's a stupid, crazy house party all across the nation on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Friday, November 13th.
Don't say that.
Friday the 13th.
Friday, don't say that.
You superstitious, John?
No.
I'm Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry.
Good morning.
Good morning on Friday the 13th.
Also on this good luck program, is there a dispute between the Pentagon and Foggy Bottom over the strategy in Afghanistan? A look at Obama's rejected options there and a possible hint of White House priorities. Also, a peek at the Palin book, no Crayolas required, and surviving the end of the world, it's only a movie.
But first, John Tyus is with us. He's a member of the Downtown Brooklyn Campaign for Families United for Racial and Economic Equality. So, John, you surveyed downtown Brooklyn, right, and count empty units, empty homes.
Yes. As part of the Rights to the City Coalition, Fury and its members went out and walked the districts of downtown Brooklyn and Bushwick. We identified 234 vacant
234 vacant condos or homes.
That's correct. And many of them were partially vacant and some stalled projects. This creates two problems.
Okay.
When you take away the footprint of housing that is affordable in low-income communities, you displace families. The additional problem is the vacancies create hazards for the communities themselves.
Because no one's taking care of the property?
Exactly. Just simply putting up a fence does not protect the community from rodents and other factors in the community.
Okay. John Tyus, stay with us. We'll be talking with you more in just a moment. But first, everything else you need to know this morning.
President Obama is meeting right now with Japanese Prime Minister Hatoyama in Tokyo. This comes at a time of uncertainty between the two nations, with friction over troop support in Afghanistan and plans to relocate the U.S. military base in Okinawa. The accused Fort Hood gunman faces the death penalty now.
U.S. Army Major Nadal Malik Hassan has been charged with 13 specifications of premeditated murder.
Christopher Gray, he's a spokesman for the Army's criminal investigators, says the Army believes Hassan acted alone. 22 million Americans have caught the H1N1 or swine flu in the past 6 months, and 3,900 have died, reportedly. CDC Director Dr. Ann Shuchat says children have been hit especially hard.
We estimate 8 million children have been ill with influenza, 36,000 hospitalized, and 540 children have died from this pandemic influenza.
Big numbers. Unlike the regular flu, the vast majority of those killed are below 65 and previously healthy.
British Prime Minister Gordon Brown says NATO may contribute 5,000 more troops to Afghanistan. This comes at a key time when President Obama is reviewing U.S. strategy. And starting next summer, there will no longer be overdraft fees on ATM machines or debit cards, unless you agree ahead of time to pay the extra charges and say, sure, hey, I'll pay those fees. It's part of the new consumer protection rules being instituted by the Federal Reserve. After 6 days of gains, the Dow dropped nearly 100 points yesterday. The S&P fell 11 points, and the NASDAQ was also slightly down. So we're talking about homes today, and home foreclosure rates are up 19% since last October, although the numbers have gotten better over the past few months. The problem, though, isn't going to be going away anytime soon, and we're wondering, are you seeing vacant homes in your neighborhood? Has the foreclosure crisis hit your community? What are you seeing on the ground on your block? 8778-MY-TAKE or email us at mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
So if you're looking just at statistics, it's kind of a mixed picture on homes. Foreclosures are still up about 19% since the same time last year. But in recent months, the number of new foreclosures has been going down. At the same time, we still have unemployment of 10%. And the one thing that is not changing is that these houses, the housing market has not bounced back yet, which means these homes that are vacant are still vacant. And it's causing a problem in a number of communities. We're joined by John Tyus again. He's a member of the Downtown Brooklyn Campaign for Families United for Racial and Economic Equality. And we heard him saying earlier that he counted 234 empty units just in downtown Brooklyn, and there's about 601 so far that they've counted across the city. We're joined also by Luther Bradley. He's a block captain for the Neighborhood Watch Group in Sherwood Forest, Detroit. Good morning, Luther.
Good morning. How are you doing, Celeste?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I just came in from a long run, so I'm a little winded.
But on that run, did you count the vacant homes on your block?
Well, actually, on my block, there's two of them.
Two.
And they've been vacant for about a year and a half or so.
Are they for sale?
One of them are for sale. The other one is just vacant. Apparently, somebody kind of walked away from it.
Okay. We're also joined by Karen Mines and McInerney. She's a councilwoman in Sandy Springs, Georgia, outside Atlanta. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So tell me what you're hearing from your councilwoman in Sandy Springs. What are the people of the community in Sandy Springs saying to you? You have a lot of vacant homes there?
We do have several vacant homes. I would say, it would certainly be in the, 100 or so. This part of my community is characterized by large lots and luxury homes on those lots. Not, of course, everyone, but I have heard complaints over the last 2 months of parties that are being held.
Right. We're going to talk about your parties in just a minute, Karen. But first,
sure.
let's kind of get this picture a little bit from all three of you. Luther is in Detroit, and in Metro Detroit, one of the things we know from RealtyTrack statistics is that one out of every 15.5 households have gone into foreclosure in the past 3 years. That's a lot of homes, Luther. And I mean, I'm just wondering if the communities there are beginning to look like a smile with gapped teeth.
Well, I mean, I think most people would think that, but in my particular neighborhood, we're pretty exclusive as well. You know, we're middle class. Most people are professionals. So, I mean, there has been a number of homes. Like, for example, we've got 300 or so homes in our community, and about, I would say, 25 to 30 of them are vacant homes.
Okay.
But we have seen there's been a small trickle of people buying these homes now at some reduced prices, but they're buying them.
Okay,
so
well, that's good.
It's looking up.
Well, you and Karen seem to be in neighborhoods that most of us would think are kind of insulated. So for some people, it may be a surprise that you have quite as many vacant homes as you can. But John Tyus, you're in downtown Brooklyn. It's no surprise that there would be vacant homes. I guess the surprise is just the number. So when you have these vacant properties, you were saying that part of the problem is that they're not kept up. How long does it take for between the time that when somebody leaves a property and leaves it alone and it's empty and vacant before that property becomes a problem?
Well, essentially the properties become a problem as soon as the construction stops. And what we've seen is most of the permits are for a full year. And in many cases, developers are building properties very slowly now because of the financial crisis and the difficulty in liquidating them. So in downtown Brooklyn, where we've identified approximately 126 buildings in downtown Brooklyn in a community that has a poverty rate of about 22%, many of our constituents, our members, are low-income working families, and they make, on average, about $18,000 a year. And when you see buildings going up for $600,000, $700,000, and $800,000 in that type of community, those buildings were not built for the existing community,
right.
And that is a problem for us.
So there's vulnerability economically because the developers are trying to make units for the middle class, not for low income. And there's vulnerability from the fact that they're vacant and they become sources of potential crime. Luther and John, it seems to me that you possibly share this experience. I mean, one of the appalling things about this recession is there's no real program nationwide for dealing with these foreclosures and these vacant properties. And it occurs to me that in both Detroit and in New York, one of the ways neighborhoods change is that people take matters into their own hands and become squatters or reclaim properties and decide to do what developers won't do. Any sign of that going on in Detroit, Luther?
Well, absolutely. We would call our Sherwood Forest Association, and within the Sherwood Forest, I'm a block captain. We also have house monitors. And so we've decided we're going to take this in our own hands. And so we've gone out to each block and says, okay, why don't you take that particular house that is vacant and make sure you clean the neighborhood, clean the grass, cut the grass, rake the leaves, make sure nobody's coming in there, squatters. And we do that from block to block, and we meet like every quarter, and we talk about those things. So we have kind of said, you know, we're not going to just let this thing fall apart because we really enjoy our neighborhood and we love our community. So we're actually doing something about it. And what happens is that you will be amazed at how many people will say, you know, I like this, and I'm
being that involved.
To do it.
We actually have a phone call from one of our listeners from Detroit talking about this issue.
My name's John, and I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. We're about 11 miles from downtown, which means that we see absolutely none of the money or effort that's allegedly being put into making Detroit a better place. We're left to fend for ourselves. Luckily, I live on a block that's about 60% vacant, but the 40% of us that remain work hard to keep it nice. We take care of the yards that are in abandoned homes and try to keep the strippers away as much as possible.
He's not talking about people who remove their clothes. He's talking about people who strip copper pipes and wiring out of homes to make money off the metal. But, John, is this kind of thing happening in downtown Brooklyn across New York as well?
Well, what we're finding in downtown Brooklyn and in other areas throughout the city is that the vacant properties are being pretty much policed by security guards, and they're not left totally abandoned, if you will. One of the problems we do have with this current situation is the speaker, the city council, and the mayor come forward with a program called HARP. It's the Housing Asset Renewal Program. And this program is the first step by the city to deal with the vacant condo problem in New York. And as New York has become a model city for so many other programs, our organization, Right to the City, along with FERI and the other members of the coalition, we're trying to put pressure on the city to convert the HARP program into a program for low-income families and not the middle-income families. When a family of four can participate in a program like this that will provide subsidies for a developer with an income of $126,000, that is simply providing luxury for someone who couldn't afford luxury. We want to focus on the lower end of the market.
But there's still problems with this. Very quickly, Karen, one of the problems in your neighborhood that you're hearing from your constituents is that these homes are being used for both illegal and legal parties. Very quickly, can you tell us what's happening here and what problem is causing?
Because the properties have been are vacant and either are for sale or have been withdrawn from the market and until it, you know, stabilizes. They have websites. Two of the homes have websites that indicate that the home is available for weekly rentals. One is a wedding venue. But others, the most egregious one occurred on Halloween night, and a promoter for a party made something like $20,000.
Wow.
And there were the police estimated 1,000 people. We are talking on a small neighborhood street.
And we're just really talking about people not being in control of the properties in their own neighborhoods. That's Karen Mines and McInerney, councilwoman in Sandy Springs, Georgia, outside Atlanta. We also heard from Ruth or Bradley in the Sherwood Forest District of Detroit, and Giant Tyus from downtown Brooklyn. Thanks.
So at 15 minutes past the hour, let's take a quick look at some headlines. President Obama is in Japan, his first stop on a Far East Asian trip. Army psychiatrist Major Nidal Malik Hassan has been officially charged now with 13 counts of premeditated murder in the Fort Hood shootings. And coming up, we're going to take a look at the Sarah Palin book, which gets rolled out next week.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.